I hate the New England Patriots.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, imminently sponsored by MeUndies. Not quite yet, though, but I'm so excited about the underpants getting behind Dameshek.
Me too. Company. I actually, to celebrate, I wore underpants today.
Did you really?
Yeah, I really did.
See? There we go. Now we're off and running. That's indicative of what you are about to hear for however long we go. You will hear no jive, and Handsome right. is in fact wearing underpants. Let's say hello to him now. He's seated to my immediate left here in Studio 66 during an interesting time in the NFL, specifically for high-profile QBs, not necessarily great QBs, but high-profile QBs of the 21st century who are now staring square in the face of either backup dumb or rosterless dumb, mm-hmm. and then also the FBI director, James Comey. We just heard him there talking. He was in front of Congress, and he invoked the New England Patriots and his hatred of them because he's a Giants fan. And then also he brought up, I'm not sure exactly why, I was half listening at this point, but he also brought up Texas Tech and the Red Raiders. It was very weird.
Hmm.
Stick to politics, you know?
That's what they say.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
You always hear that all the time. Here is, by the way, Handsome Hank, what FBI Director James Comey said in front of Congress on Monday. He went on to explain his hatred of the Patriots.
The reason I don't like the Patriots is they represent sustained excellence. And as a Giants fan, that drives me crazy.
What do you think about that, Handsome? How does that one hit your ear? I thought that was weird. You're a Giants fan.
You're the one fan base that has it over the Patriots despite their sustained excellence.
Yeah,
as a Dolphins fan, I should hate them. I actually grudgingly respect them. I can't even bring myself to hate them any longer because I just admire what they've managed to do for such a long period of time.
Who should hate the Patriots the most? I don't think the Jets. Not if you're a Jets fan, you shouldn't hate the Patriots.
I believe they're we talked about this before. I think their rivalries have sort of grown out of the division. I think they're outside of the division at this point. It's not like any of the three teams in their division has caused them any kind, even a speed bump type of obstacle.
Well, that's right. They've transcended their greatness.
Right.
The Patriots' dominance has forcibly, it's about January rivalry.
Right, they've had rivalries with the Broncos. Most recently, they've had rivalries with the Steelers, the Colts.
No. I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, so it pains me to say this. The Steelers are not their rival. Same as the Cleveland Browns are not the Steelers'
right,
rival.
Right, but what I'm saying
or
is
the Bengals are
it's
not the closer
Steelers' rival. They're closer to having a rivalry with the Steelers than they are with the Dolphins or Bills or Jets.
I disagree, because the Steelers have never won a game of significance against the Patriots in the 21st century. So how can you really fear them?
But they've played in games of significance against the Patriots. The Dolphins, Bills, and Jets haven't played in a game of significance, really.
That's why I say the Jets can at least condescend a little bit about the Patriots.
It was
cause
a
they
while
beat them
ago
in
now.
A divisional
I mean,
round.
It's a while ago now.
All right.
It's 6
hey,
years.
We're going to talk to Greg Rosenthal, who is the boss of ATN, but also more importantly, he is the king. He sits on the ease of throne.
The throne of ease, I think.
The throne of ease, as Dan Hanzus likes to say. I don't know what they talk about on their show. Whatever they do, it's cute.
It's nice.
It's nice. I'm rooting for all those kids. They're good kids. You know what? When they take the mics off and you get to know them as people, they're good kids.
They're good
kids.
You
root for them.
Right.
And
you kind of set them on their way as well. So you feel this sort of paternal love and support.
I don't know about that, but
you gave back to the in a way you gave back. That's how you've served the community.
I don't know if this is the best word, but charitable,
yes,
is what I've been towards them, right?
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Yeah, you've been that guy for them.
You know, like, do they deserve a chance? Like, hey, doesn't every human being deserve a chance to podcast? You know, that's the world I want to live in.
That's who I am.
That's what I'm about. That's what I'm about.
Right.
Anywho, the Giants, though, why would the Giants fan, Eddie Spaghetti behind the glass, get on the mic, why would you if you're a Giants fan, why would you hate the and of course, I'm glad that this has come into our lives, this congressional hearing, because this is the biggest takeaway from these congressional hearings and Russia/Trump connections and everything else, that James Comey is a Giants fan and hates the Patriots.
I don't understand why he hates them, because we beat them in 2007, you beat them in 2011, and even all the regular season matchups have been like instant classics. I don't like the Patriots, but we get the last laugh. So his analogy was kind of off. Like, you named a bunch of teams that you probably could have put in that position, but not the Giants. Like, they're the one team to beat Goliath.
Right, it'd be like Batman saying he hates the Riddler. Like, you know, like, hey, I always beat the Riddler. Right. I know the Riddler is dangerous to most people. I know the dangerous is a ne'er-do-well in our society and has upset a lot of people, a lot of the population, but thank goodness I'm around, because whenever I square off the Riddler, I put him in my put him in their place, right?
I agree.
All right, good. We can move on then. Good stuff, Spaghetti. Spaghetti also asked me, I know, I'm not, this isn't denigrating you there, Spaghetti, but we talk about best days in life, best days in sports, worst days in sports, but Spaghetti mentioned we should really do the yang to the yin that we covered earlier this month, which was the best days in sports and life. What are the worst days in sports, Handsome? I mean, I think the easiest one is the day after the Super Bowl, right? Because that's the longest we'll ever be, furthest away.
I think the day after your team loses a playoff game.
Yeah.
The day after Super Bowl is not, you know, that's, it's still a celebratory day. You know, you're excited about what you just saw, especially this year. You're high, coming off a high of like, oh my God, did that thing just happen? But I think, like, if your team lost an AFC championship and then the next day you're even further away from the football season starting and you still have this bad taste in your mouth that we were so close and yet didn't make it.
You know, it's like if you have, if you get, to me, it's not the end of football season as I'm pondering this. I think it's sort of like football season is a delicious cake. You know, you go, there's a place nearby where I live called Susie Cake.
Right.
And, oh, they make delicious cakes.
When you eat a cake, do you like to eat the icing first, or are you fair to the whole cake?
My more mature taste buds now can't handle handle pure icing.
Right.
But would you take some cake to
but
cut
do you
it.
Like to just, like, scoop a little?
No.
even.
I can't. Well, I can't.
That is mature.
Well, I'd like to, but it's not that I have made a decision that that's unhealthy or anything. I just can't handle it anymore.
What is your favorite type of cake from Susie Cake?
Well, they make a delicious coconut cake, and so once in a blue moon, if the occasion presents itself, like for instance, it was my old man's 80th birthday.
Happy birthday!
Yes, I know.
Dr. Damashek.
That's right. He came to town. Mo Damashek came to town. It was also Jean-Claude Van Damashek's 8th birthday. So it was an 8/80th right. birthday celebration that, of course, could not be contained in one 24-hour stretch. No, we had to spread.
He's going to take that through the weekend.
Well, like we talked about a week ago, it started with a laser tag party for Jean-Claude Van Damashek and his peers a whole weekend ago.
Mostly for his peers, I understand.
Right.
Yep.
Then we made it all, and then the parents arrived on Thursday. We went to a great restaurant in Los Angeles called Pistola. We ate steaks. Mm. We ate mussels. We ate it all. Then
with the kids as well?
No.
This is
the adults. And then we went to Krabby Krab. Because this was Jean-Claude Van Damashek's 8th birthday decision that he wanted this. So we ate crabs and shrimps and all that kind of stuff. Oh, it just went on. It went on and on. We did
so
all
the diet's going well, you would say.
Okay. Yes. It's hard to also – it's hard to – the thing that's difficult, Handsome, is your parents aren't that old yet, but it's hard to figure out activities that will please – both people that are that old, septuagenarians and 8-year-olds at the same time. It's very difficult to figure that one out. Who, though, Handsome? I forget how we got into this subject. Oh, no, I was going to say. So when you bring a cake home, you have a delicious cake, and it's the best of all cakes. Then you eat it.
A coconut cream.
Then you finish the cake. Sort of in the same way, the cake is best when you first bring it home. Let's say that's the start of the playoffs, you know, the wild card and divisional round.
Okay.
That's when the cake just got there. Yep. You're eating and it's delicious and there's plenty left, and so you're excited about that. But, you know, like when you're down to the people have picked it over a little bit, but it's still tasty. That's the Super Bowl. Your team's out of it anymore.
Right.
But is that still a high-end
still
cake?
Still a nice cake, right.
Going to consume it.
Yep.
Same
we
as
finish
the Super
it?
Bowl.
Yeah, let's. Why not?
Patriots, Falcons, I could have come up with a better matchup in my head, one I'd rather see.
But I'll watch it.
You know what?
I'll eat that cake.
That buttercream still tastes good on that coconut. Mm-hmm. You know, all that stuff. Then that cake is gone. Super Bowl ends in overtime. Then you're like, what am I going to do? Then you open the cabinet, and there are some Chips Ahoy in there. You know, or whatever. You find like a pudding, you know, one of them little containers of pudding in the fridge. And you're like, okay, all's not lost. That is college.
Are you still hungry?
That's college basketball.
After you've eaten an entire cake.
That's college basketball slash NBA slash NHL. Now it's okay. So life's not over yet.
Right.
Because I just found
some more food to eat.
I'm trying to think of good examples because this analogy works. So I'm trying to think of what would please me like that. You know what I just discovered, by the way? Has anybody had the Greek yogurt? Has anybody had that?
I've had it.
It's very good.
Do you know what it's good with?
What's
Put some honey on top of that thing.
Ooh.
You done that?
I haven't.
Oh, that'll blow your mind.
Really?
I'm serious. Also, if Dave, where you live, this is not going to be pertinent to, I would say, 98% of our listeners, but Trader Joe's, has a... I mean, I like to shop there. I like moving around that place. There was about 2-3 years ago, I discovered some salted caramel gelato in there, right? Absolute. I mean, incredible. Tastes better than anything you've ever tasted in your life.
Mm-hmm.
They took it away for 2 years. Yesterday, I'm walking around there, and every time I'm like, I don't think there's a dog experiment. I still go back to the thing to see if it's still there, even though it hasn't been there for 2 years. They brought it back.
I'm so happy for you.
Thank
next
you.
Next visit there when you're trying to gather as much for the next hibernation of this product, make sure you grab yourself some cookie butter. Have you had
that's
cookie
good
butter?
Stuff. That's good stuff.
Don't be dismissive.
It's incredible.
That's also good.
But that's
outrageous how good cookie butter is.
But see, this salted carrot, because it's gelato, not ice cream, it makes me feel like it might be good for me. So what's the cookie butter, when I see it, I'm like, I know that cookie butter is not, you know, there's two words. That's not. There's no way I can make believe that that stuff's good for me.
Yeah, I hear you. But so ultimately, which is more dangerous, the wolf in sheep's clothing?
Yeah, the wolf in sheep's clothing,
aka the product you prefer. Anywho,
go find it.
So I would like to find some Little Debbie's oatmeal. What are those ones called? You ever have the oatmeal cookies with the cream? Oatmeal cream pies, Emma V.
Look how quick Emma was to respond on that one. You hadn't even asked the question, and she was able to answer it.
I bet people thought when you were growing up, Emma VP, that you looked a little bit like Little Debbie on the package. True?
What's that supposed to mean?
I don't know. Trying to relate to you, you know? Trying to vibe to someone who's hipping now, like Emma VP is.
Right.
She's in the prime of her life, 20s, you know, devil may care attitude, world on a string.
Yeah, she's a head writer for a major podcast.
And also, is this big news to share that I will be making my trip to Philadelphia in about a month to witness,
to
pay witness and to report back to you, the Czech Republic and beyond, on the happenings at the 2017 NFL Draft. Emma VP is coming along with me.
You are kidding. That's great news.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah. She's going to – you know what I'm going to do? What we need to do is figure out exactly what – we need to do we do a podcast with Emma VP's significant other who lives in Philadelphia?
Let's do it.
What about that, Emma VP?
I'll ask him.
Get to the bottom of the mystery that is Emma VP.
Exactly.
Bring him on.
12 things you never knew about Emma VP.
So, Little Debbie oatmeal cream pies, a thing of pudding.
Right. Where are we in this in the analogy? Because I'm a little lost.
But then
I'm also hungry.
When the NBA, not the NCAA tournament, that's a shame when that ends. That's now the Little Debbies are gone.
Right
now, what are we down to?
Yeah,
now
we just got that pudding.
NHL, I mean, then the NBA and NHL, the Stanley Cup is hoisted. There go the puddings. What are we left with now? NBA Finals. That's the only thing still going. That's the little Hershey Kisses that are left over from Christmas time that are mint flavored. You know, the white ones, the vanilla, the white chocolate ones with the red running through them. which are surprisingly kind of good for somebody who doesn't really like white chocolate. But I digress. I don't like to interrupt myself.
No, that's fine.
Diverge.
Keep going. Little thing.
But then Game 7, NBA Finals is over. LeBron and Kyrie have done it. That's the last morsel of Hershey Kiss. Then that's the worst day on the set, because then all you have is baseball. And that's a grim reality. Wait a second. We have nothing but baseball? Baseball until the season, until football? Oh, my God. What are we going to do with ourselves?
We've booked, you and I and our friends from around the NFL, you know, the guys who look up to you so much, have booked to go watch a Dodgers game together, haven't we?
I know. In June. We're going to make way. We're going to cheat life.
On a Wednesday.
It's getaway game.
Right.
That's what they call it. It's called getaway game. You know what I think we should do? I think in honor of that event, I think we should wear just like our forefathers would have when day games were more ubiquitous. You would see you ever see the photos of the guys at the ball game in the 40s and 50s? They all wear shirt sleeves. They wear white shirt sleeves.
Right.
They wear black ties. They all look like they were in the FBI or Men in Black or
something. But the tie is down.
Yes, and they sometimes wear a fedora. They don't wear their jackets. They just wear because they're at
a
ball game.
You take the jacket off.
Yeah, they stole away
around
11:30. You know, old man Sheldrake is none the wiser.
Right.
You know, we
got a meeting.
I got a meeting uptown. I got to take off there, boss. And then you go and then we're going to be sitting there drinking beers in the middle of the day watching our Dodgers against the nation's capital, Washington Nationals.
That's
a getaway game. Ooh, I've just given a locator for those who
Able to work it out. Maybe
anyone who wishes to do us ill.
Come and find us.
Well, yeah. If you want a glad hand.
Or buy us a beer.
Either way.
Right.
That's
or do us harm.
One or the other.
One
that's
the
what's
other.
Gonna be fun
Nothing
for us
in
is
between,
to see
though.
Who knows.
Right.
Oh, this guy seems to recognize us.
Right.
Here he comes.
Here he comes.
This is gonna be fun
is
to find out.
Is he gonna do us harm or buy us a beer?
Is he gonna give us a beer or is he gonna maim us in
right.
some manner? That's gonna be a fun sideshow.
It'll be fun.
You know what game I like to play at ball games too? Here's a fun little tip. You know, baseball season, their spring training's underway. Here's a little life tip from Dave to you. Play and I think you're allowed to talk about this. I know gambling is not a thing. You know, people talk about like how much teams beat other teams by, people predict that.
I'm not interested in that stuff.
No, I don't care for that. I don't understand why you'd sully the purity of sport with that.
Yeah, just the joy of watching.
Yes, but anyway, I've heard some people do that.
Yep.
So anyway, here's something tangential though. Here's what you do at the ball game. You say, everybody put $1 into the cap or a beer cup or whatever. Everybody in our group, you know. And you know what? Make friends around you with neighbors, you know. Mm-hmm. Bring in like 15 people. Everybody put $1 in to start. Now, first batter steps to the plate. Who's holding the cup? Let's say it's you. You're on the end seat there, Handsome Hank.
Right.
You're holding a cup with $15 on it. The leadoff hitter, he makes an out. You put $1 into the cup. You hand it to the next person. The person in the two hole, now it's home run ball. If the home run is hit, you get all the cup.
Here's what I remember. I think last time
did we do this?
We did it, and because of the nature of the day that we were having, we soon lost track of who was holding the cup or how long I'd been holding a cup for.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it began to fall down. Have you put $1 in? I don't remember. How long have you had that cup for? I don't know.
Imagine that that's what you're doing with,
right.
The proper spirit is if you're classy like Dave, what you do is if you're holding the cup when the home run is hit, you take that
you
money.
Take it and you buy everyone
a round of drinks.
Right.
So then you're a hero.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right. Did we get to the bottom of worst day there for you, Spaghetti? I think we did.
We definitely talked about cake.
You're welcome, Eddie Spaghetti. Eddie Spaghetti's in good spirits, as am I, because we mutually hate the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Flyers are not going to the playoffs, so that's good news. And NCAA basketball, you've been drinking that in, Handsome?
No.
You haven't watched
not
that?
Not a moment.
I've watched very little of this tournament. It turns out that if you don't follow the story throughout the preceding 4 months, it's hard to feel engaged by the actual tournament. I did watch a little bit of it, but I have no idea. It's kind of a bummer to be so checked out on such a tournament of significance. All right, what are we doing now, MVP? What should we talk? We're going to talk to Julian Edelman. We're going to finally give you our Julian Edelman noise.
We did promise that last week, didn't we?
We did, but we got sidetracked when Handsome Hank's
mom
came on the show to find out about her felonious son. She'd never known about his.
She had no idea about the thing that no one has any idea.
Well, the felony is still a mystery to me.
I didn't tell anyone what it was.
I know. I can't wait to get to the bottom of that story.
I'll see if I can, because it is funny. I have the police report somewhere, and it's very funny to read through.
Oh, well.
I'd like to read it.
I wait with bated
breath. I'll see if I can find. I need to go back to the UK to get it.
Maybe I should get on the phone with your actual mother, and we can all hash this thing out at once. Everybody, let's just, you know, it's like pulling the Band-Aid off fast. You know, let's get everybody who will be concerned and bothered by this news. Let's just gather them all for the big reveal. Meantime, so yes, Julian Edelman. However, he visited us before. He was in a relationship with Lima, supermodel Adriana Lima, and we talked about her briefly. Are you guys leaving that in? What's your decision to keep that in the interview or to cut it away?
I left it in its original format.
What do you think about that, Hannah?
I don't think that's good. I think Julian, you know, they're sadly no longer together.
Right.
And I don't think he'll want the reminder when he listens back to the podcast, which I'm sure he would do anyway.
This was such a great time.
Right, this was such a great time.
Friend,
and
Dave.
Then, but it's reminded me of that, of the thing that happened. And you know, then maybe he'll be like, I'm just going to go and sit and watch Friends for 24 hours.
That would probably be his choice, I think. I feel like, it's hard to feel, you know, people like to say, oh, it's hard to feel bad for that guy. He just got cut, you know, like he's a multimillionaire. And I kind of get that mentality.
No, I don't. They're people. Everyone's a person.
I know. But you know what? Here's something that might seem crass. I feel bad for them from an ego standpoint. Jay Cutler now. He got passed over by the New York Jets in favor of Josh McCown. I mean, there's nothing lower than that.
Yeah, but you see, the Jets, here's my theory on the Jets are very obviously, this is a bad year to be drafting a quarterback. The Jets are being smart and going to pick up probably a defensive player, which is it's a good year to pick up a defensive player. The Jets are banking on 2018, that's next year, right? 2018.
Correct.
There being a stockpile of great quarterbacks. There's a bunch of guys who could potentially come out. So they're going to, not obviously, but somehow, you know, they're going to field a team every Sunday, but the team's not going to be very good.
You know, it's
and that's a tough thing to do. Actually, pull off.
In other words, they're tanking.
That might be what's happening.
It's like
but not obviously.
It's like in the movie Major League.
Right.
That's what you've seen that movie.
Yes.
Did you follow what was happening there in our sport of baseball?
Yeah.
Okay. The owner instructed the GM put together a terrible team so that we lose. I want to lose every game. Can see if we can lose every game, make us lose every game. And I, you know, it's weird with that though. Yeah. The
Plucky
Jets are trying to be more clever
with
that, because the Major League, if you really wanted to field a team that couldn't compete, you could have done a lot worse or better than what that GM did in Major League.
Right.
Like, they were still ball players.
Well, and they all have
people
pride.
Who've never thrown a ball before. Then, now you're talking.
Yeah, I mean, that might be a little obvious.
You think?
Yeah.
That's why they didn't do it?
Yeah, I think that's why they
didn't. Hey, why is the shortstop 620 pounds? You know, because
we're trying to lose.
What do you mean, why? They're trying to thread the needle there. Like, we're trying to lose, but we don't want you to know.
We don't want you to know we're getting
That's what you're
lose.
Saying.
That's what I'm saying.
And you think that's what the Jets are also
That's what
doing.
They're trying to do. But then a lot of the quarterbacks that
But isn't Josh McCown essentially a 620-pound shortstop?
No.
Jay Cutler, at least you'd be like, well, listen, this guy, high first-round pick, has had some moments, has that big arm. Jets fans, get excited. You know, this isn't Major League in it.
But
this
Josh McCown is a safe pair of hands. Josh McCown's going to do everything he can not to throw the interception. Jay Cutler doesn't care.
Who do you feel worse for, Jets fans or Jay Cutler?
I will never feel bad for Jets fans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
I hate the Jets, and I hate Jets fans. So I have no feelings. I have no feelings for Jets fans.
I've contracted, by the way, what's going around in the house. A little bit of a cough. But out of context, I just sound like a 52-year-old. I sound like one of Marge Simpson's sisters.
Right.
It is weird that these high-profile QBs. So as it stands now, Jay Cutler is just about without option, right?
Well, here's where I think the interesting one for him is if the Texans don't wind up with Tony Romo, who's probably also on your list, then I could see the Texans going to get Cutler. But I can't see the Broncos, if they miss out on Tony Romo, getting Cutler.
Why, you know, it is interesting. It seems to me anecdotally like there are more guys going back to teams that drafted them, and you figure, once you make that split, you don't dignity or otherwise prevent you from cohabitating again. Why couldn't Cuddy go back there?
It would be a bad fit, but it's a bad regime. I mean, it's a previous. I don't think he's a good fit. Exactly. It's not like they need a starting quarterback. They just would like Tony Romo, who's better than Simeon or Paxton Lynch.
What about Cap? Didn't Elway kick the tires on Kaepernick last year? And that was there was some smoke to that one.
Isn't John Elway a fairly noted? Right now the story about Kaepernick, as of yesterday, is that our president Donald Trump said some pretty inflammatory things about Kaepernick. And
what did he say? He said NFL owners.
He laughed because there's a rumor that NFL owners are worried that he would tweet something nasty about them specifically if they sign Colin Kaepernick, because Colin Kaepernick, in his eyes, is un-American. And
if I wasn't already rooting for Kaepernick,
right, of course
now
you
it's
are.
Tenfold.
Yeah,
and now I hope he thrives. Do you think that the Niners, just even a few weeks later, would say, like, nah, you know what? All things, we should have just stuck with Cap here. Now yes. We got Brian Hoyer.
Absolutely.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Why don't
Cap, in a couple of games he played last year, I mean, he got hurt towards the end, but he was fine. He was better than the other options.
I'm trying to think of places that make sense. If you're the Jags, doesn't it make sense to get Kaepernick or Cutler, and for different reasons.
If you're many teams.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
What Cutler would bring obviously would be different than Kaepernick.
I'd rather have Kaepernick than Cutler.
If you're the Rams.
Right.
Yeah, your fail-safe, instead of it being Case Keenum or Sean Mannion, instead becomes splashy Jay Cutler. And by the way, you could probably justify that and obscure the Jared Goff.
Right.
If it's divined by summer, man, this Jared Goff thing, like, we got to bury it.
Yeah.
It's just never going to work out.
Right.
We can try to fool the fans a little bit. But go get Kaepernick or Cutler right now.
But the difference is I'd get Kaepernick, but I'm not sure Cutler's the guy to be like, okay, we've got this young quarterback and we want this guy to help mentor him and show him how to be a professional.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about behind a crummy O-line.
Right.
Well, maybe it'll be a little bit better this year with Todd Gurley back there. Doesn't Jay Cutler I believe me, I'm cynical about what Jay Cutler's capable of doing in the NFL, but if you threw him in there with a couple of speedy
guys, is he going to give you more of a chance to win than Jared Goff? Yes.
Is Colin Kaepernick
going to do that? Yes.
If you buy the premise, which I'm skeptical of that, but that LA sports fans need a big name and need that kind of splash. But if you buy that premise, certainly then you would go get Jay Cutler or Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
And Kaepernick on that team, again, he's a complete change up from Jared Goff. If you suddenly threw it like, boy, Jared Goff, 16's lousy today. Get him out of there and throw 7.
Right, and then you haven't
like,
prepared for Colin Kaepernick. You've got to scramble.
Yeah.
He'd be scrambling. You've got to scramble too, Dave.
RG3, will he be on a roster?
I don't know.
He's got to make – you know, I think about it from – think about it. Here's the way to make it real. You have Matt Moore and Ryan Tannehill, so it's not going to happen. But would you want any of these guys on your team? RG3.
RG3.
Cap. Cutler.
I would want Cap out of all of them the most.
Forget Fitz. I'm done. Fitz is not worthy of inclusion.
No, but you see, here's the deal. Out of all these names, okay, Cutler, so Cap I would want most personally. Fitz is the guy who someone will come and say, he's a safe pair of hands, And he'll play another 3 years in the NFL, despite as being as bad as he was last year, because he's the guy everyone likes as a backup. I don't know if you've heard, he went to Harvard. He's a smart,
is that right?
He's a smart
so
kid.
So he's a bright guy.
He's a bright guy. He's a smart kid. He went to Harvard. He's exactly what people are looking at for as a backup.
And you so got to make it about your team is the way to make it real. If you actually what you actually think.
I wouldn't,
think
but of. I'm thinking about like conservative NFL head coaches who are like, I just need a safe pair of hands as a backup who can go in and do it for me.
Well, it's funny.
Fitz is the guy. Kaepernick, they would worry about for multiple reasons, most of them unfounded. RG3, they'd worry about for multiple reasons. Cutler, they might just say, I don't really know if I want to have that pain. Fitz. Because he is,
I guess, and I'm thinking about if it were pie in the sky, and again, making it about my team to then make it universal to assess these guys. Mm-hmm. Well, I'd rather have Fitz as the backup to Ben Roethlisberger on the Steelers than Landry Jones. I think that would be a bet. I could see Fitz is the classic, and so is McCown for that matter.
Yeah,
and Hoyer, a lot of backups through NFL history. The thing that they can do. Is that they can get you for a game or two or three.
They're Don Strzok.
But once they start to look at you on tape, the NFL defensive coordinators figure it out and say, oh, he likes to do that. Take that away.
Yeah.
Then can that QB figure out the second thing to do? All right, so they're taking that away from me. Now I have to do this instead.
Right.
Most guys can't do that.
But Fitz went to Harvard.
Right, again. That's
so
what
he may
said.
Be smart enough to.
Which is interesting. Yeah. They should talk about that.
Special announcement. We have a surprise guest joining us.
Is that right?
Yes.
Who's that?
How surprising is it?
Pretty surprising.
Oh, there's no surprise there.
You ruined the surprise.
There he is.
Look at that. Wait, there's something missing.
All the way from his very hiply adorned two-bedroom. He's probably sitting crisscross applesauce as we speak. That's how hipsters do. He's one half of the Fantasy Hipsters brand new podcast.
It's exciting.
Your earballs. It's Matt Harmon. What's the poop, fella? Freshly shaven, I see.
Look at that.
What's happening, fella? You look great. You look better than I could have. I'll be honest. I'm going to give you my best assessment of how you look without the beard. Of course, if you don't know Matt Harmon, you can Google him. And, of course, you probably have heard him on the DDFP or seen him on Fantasy and Friends on NFL Network. He and Matt Franciscovich, another recurring guest here on DDFP, have now started the Fantasy and Friends podcast, available on iTunes, right, Harmon?
Well, you've already plugged it wrong.
Yeah,
it's
you
the
plugged
Fantasy it. Hipsters what podcast.
What did I say? Fantasy and Friends podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm in my own head.
You're trying to make it about yourself again,
which is
not about you, Dave. You have your show there, and we've broken off into our own little private sector.
I love it. And by the way, behind you, people who are listening on iTunes or Stitcher, we appreciate the subscription and all the and all that. But I see you didn't dress the place up too much.
I would like a tour of Matt Harmon's room.
I would.
Is this
like
your bedroom?
Why are there? Why
this is my bedroom.
Can those underpants hanging from the door?
That's a jacket. That's like a running jacket.
Could you can you show us around?
They're me undies. I hope.
No. Oh no. I cannot show you.
Please
around.
Go on. Just tilt.
I've got
camera.
Like. I've got like papers on the
That's
floor
fine.
Here. It's
taxed. We've seen a mess before.
I never. There let's are papers see, on your floor.
Let's see a little bit.
No, the bed's not made.
So
you know.
I'm not worried about that.
I bet it's not made. I bet there was something made in that bed a few times though.
What are you talking about?
That
after,
is just,
under
that
the
is,
cloak of night.
That is love. That's outrageous.
Love
that is an outrageous accusation.
Love was made. Now that he's clean shaven.
I don't know. How are we feeling about the no beard? I'd love a little more feedback.
I'd say you look 6 years younger.
Agree. You look 14.
No.
That's great.
I'm saying 19.
This is my first public appearance, at least media-wise, sans beard. So this is big for you guys to get that sort of action out of this.
I don't think we count as media.
No, I'm not sure we do.
Well, you know.
But anyway, Mazel Tov on the new podcast there.
Thanks. It's going great. How many sponsors do you guys have? Because we have three.
Is that right? Well,
we're
new with MeUndies.
We've got MeUndies.
Oh, well, that's pretty good. That's good stuff.
Can you pull a pair of undies out from behind you? Maybe from those drawers out there? Get some drawers out of your drawers.
I got some in the hamper right here.
Got any discarded undies that we could take a look at?
No, because they're not so, they're not sponsoring
they're
your
not
show.
MeUndies, okay.
They're not MeUndies, so I don't want to give any props
Thank
to the competitors
you very much.
That's
a good point.
Listen,
Harman,
let's talk about this very quickly. We're in the midst, Harman, as you jump in here. We're Handsome and I are trying to figure out. I mean, I can't recall in I don't know ever really so many big name. That doesn't mean that they're competent quarterbacks in 2017. But big name QBs just being out there and looking like it's very realistic that they're going to be either that they're either going to have to accept backup gigs. At best, they're going to have to accept like, well, this is open competition, man. Nobody's giving you the starting gig. And maybe some of them out on the street at the start of the season. They are. Fitzpatrick, who isn't a, I don't know, he's a big name, but Handsome just told me that he did go to an Ivy League school. So he's a bright guy.
Heard whispers of that.
RG3, Romo is out there in some weird vacuum.
Yep.
Kind of like a field. I don't know what.
Purgatory.
Where does he exist? Sort of like.
Agency purgatory.
Like Ant-Man at the end of the movie Ant-Man, which I was watching last night. You didn't see it. At the end, like he has
to go with a reference.
Haven't seen it either.
He reduces himself so small that he
even
goes,
the ants think he's
he small. Becomes. Oh, yeah. Oh, forget the ants. He leaves them behind. He becomes molecular. He becomes atomic. He becomes super little.
Doesn't feel like that would help him.
And he's out in that, you know, when people travel into different dimensions in movies and they go through that, like, soft kind of rainbow kind of thing, pipeline.
You're not selling this movie. It's not one I'm going to go watch now.
I'm just saying, maybe where Romo is right now. He's like
I'm
in a different
quickly
dimension.
Losing interest in all of this. Let's. What's the question?
Oh well. my goodness. What?
Right.
Such an. Well,
hey, listen. I'm in my environment here. I'm comfortable. There's a tapestry here in the background.
I see. You do have the tapestry hanging on the wall, as any Dave Matthews Band fan
obviously.
Would. I'm assuming. Obviously. Hey, so Jay Cutler, Kaepernick, Romo, all things considered, because there'd be baggage. If you bring Romo, there would be baggage. You couldn't bring him into your organization.
He's not going in as a backup.
That's what I'm saying. So it's not plausible. But could you say if you're the Rams, do you suppose that there's any chain or any sequence of events that would wind up? What? Tony Romo's on the Rams now? Oh, yeah, he's the starter for 2017 now. They're going to give Jared Goff. They give him a redshirt year. I mean, which guy do you appeal? Romo is obviously a cut above. Let's reduce it to Cutler and Cap. I guess that's the reason. Are both these guys going to be backups? Is either one of these guys going to be under center starting in week one, 2017?
I think it would be not the ideal situation of the team that signs them. I think they'd want to bring them in as backups. Like you mentioned, both guys come with baggage. I mean, we know the situation with Kaepernick right now. It's been widely discussed, even with our president has recently discussed it too. So we know what the situation is there. But I do think Kaepernick, if it wasn't for what's going on with him off the field, he would be an ideal backup type. I mean, we saw him come in, play pretty well on a team that had no weapons, no offense to support him, and he was productive at least. And so I think he'd be an ideal backup. But Cutler, that's the question. Like, who is bringing in Jay Cutler to be a starter? At this point, I don't think it's anybody. I think he's probably one of the best, you know, I think both these guys are probably definitely in the top 32 NFL quarterbacks. But the problem is that are they worth bringing in for what you have, the questions you have to answer about it. And I don't know that they are. And I think you're seeing teams don't just take in talent into the equation. There's a lot of other factors to consider.
Well, all things being equal, and they are not, as you point out, as I say, the conflict that would impose on a locker room and going up against the cap is not a small issue. More so with Cutler than Cap, but Cap is not going to take, you know, isn't going to take $600K himself.
Right.
Either way, if you're the Jags, though, what about that? What about I mean, as you say, top 32 QBs, looking at Blake Bortles last year, that is not a reasonable situation to say a team that suddenly, if you're the Jaguars and you've done again, you've doubled down and made that defense, which really should be good, should have been, you know, at least started to put the pieces together. By 2017, I suspect that they'll be better. The offense, you feel like has some potential there. Don't you at least owe it to the fan base? And, you know, the Khan family is saying now even, but you know, come on. But we got to be more competitive than this already. Don't you owe it to get Cap or Cutler down there?
See, I don't know if you necessarily owe it to do that, but if you look at what Jacksonville did in free agency in terms of bringing in Calais Campbell, AJ Bouye, they've kind of addressed some of those small defensive needs, and they traded for Brandon Albert from the Dolphins, who, you know, is definitely on the back nine of his career, but still, they've plugged holes along the offensive line and on their defense. We know they have talented skill position players at the wide receiver group. It almost sets up well for them to take a quarterback at the fourth overall pick. And I know a lot of people aren't talking about that, but just think about what they've done in free agency in context with all their current roster, how it's set up, with the fact that they turned over the decision maker. I mean, it's clear that Dave Caldwell, who is Blake Bortles' guy, is now in the backseat in terms of decision making. So it would be an aggressive move. I don't know if this coaching staff, or not the coaching staff, but the whole regime as a whole, if they have the stones to make that move, but it would be a start over thing to take a quarterback at the fourth overall pick if they like one. And I think that there is a chance that that could happen, or they double down on the Blake Bortles era. But it doesn't seem like they're all that interested in bringing in kind of a mid-tier free agent, because frankly, I just think that it's kind of a lateral move at best.
Well, it's the fool's gold. And in fact, you know, we're into it now, so may as well properly engage in this. It's time for the Jacksonville Jaguars edition of Half Empty or Half Full. We're doing it for all 32 teams here in the offseason, free agency. You see how that thing has more or less shaken out. The draft on the way. Here and now, Matt Harmon, is your glass half empty or half full where the Jacksonville Jaguars are concerned? Which is to say, you remember the measure. Will they finish better within the division than they did in 2016?
Yeah, I think that it's I would say half full. And I know that we get suckered into the Jags, it seems like, every offseason. But while I don't know that Blake Bortles is ever going to be sort of a franchise-level quarterback like we might have thought after a really statistically productive but still questionable 2015 season, I think he's salvageable as like the 20th best quarterback in the NFL, and that would be good enough with what they've put the pieces around him to be better than fourth in the division or picking top five again next year. So I think it's a half-full approach. I think there's enough good players on the offense. And Bouye and Ramsey is a really intimidating, like, cornerstone, two defensive corner,
indeed,
shutdown cornerbacks there.
How about the whole secondary now?
At least it's hard not to buy into it, of
that entire the entire defense. The defense has a chance to be, people like to say dominant, myself included. Oh, that's a dominant shutdown defense. That defense has a legitimate chance to be a top three defense given the pieces that they're going to roll out there.
So you know this, Dave, that I'm tight with some Jaguars people on Twitter because of Allen Robinson and all that. You know, because they've come at you before.
But by the way, let me just say for the record, history or the past year has proven me correct, right? I know someone high in the organization tied to the organization who has suggested to me that there are some concerns with the coaching staff about Blake Bortles' willingness or ability to fully grasp the playbook. I said and people came at me. How dare I? What are my sources? I'm not a reporter. I'm not giving my sources. That's just what I'm more casual than that. What somebody who would seem to know what he or she was talking about. I was right.
Well, you were absolutely right, and I want to let the record show that I gave you props for that when I went on a Jaguars podcast recently. But, and a lot of people started to hear those things come out more and more as the season approached. But anyways, my point saying all this is...
My point is I'm awaiting for the apology from those who attacked me on social media.
I got one over a text, if that helps.
Is that right? They may all be blocked on my social media. So
who knows? But anyways, my point in saying this is, like, a lot of those guys say... rightly, that last year they didn't win games because of their defense, but they didn't lose games because of their defense. They lost games because of their offense, right. So that's what I'm saying. I think at picking in the top five, they could, if they don't go running back, like with a Leonard Fournette or something, which I think would be aggressive, but like their defense is set up, like you said, to take that next step to be a game winning unit. And the offense is now at a point that it needs to catch up. Are they going to do that with a new quarterback or with a running back in the top five picks? I think they go offense with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. And I think they have to go offense because you're right in saying that the defense should be improved, although let's not forget that most of the players that they've also lost during this offseason are guys that 2 years ago we'd have been saying, well, look what the Jags did in free agency. They really bolstered their defense. Take a look at the guys that they've signed. So, you know, let's not count 100% on the guys that they've just given enormous amounts of money to stepping up and being, you know, game changers for that team. But even if their defense is as good as it possibly can be, the offense just is, with Blake Bortles at the helm and a lack of a running game, is just not that impressive. I don't see how they score more points, and I don't see how they get out of the AFC South.
But it's the classic model.
The Texans
of,
are going to be better. You know, the Colts be are going to be better. We're talking about the glass half full, glass half empty.
I hear you on that.
The Texans, the Titans, and the Colts are all better than they were last year, and you could say that they underperformed because of injuries or whatever else.
I would
else.
Say Mariota is the X factor of the division.
Yes.
At this point. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know if the Titans have gotten better, though, this offseason. I think they had a chance to add some more wide receiver talent. I think they had a chance to maybe add some more pieces to kind of like an emerging defense. But I don't know that they've necessarily taken that next step to become a division-winning unit. And the Colts,
when Romo lands in Houston, and I don't understand the
it's going to happen. It's just
this nonsense that's holding it all up. But anyway,
the Texans are sure they are really rolling with a kind of a risky approach here at this point. Like, if they just hypothetically say Tony Romo gets free and then he signs with Denver, and it seems like it's going to be a 50-50 shot between Houston and Denver, then Houston's really holding the bag with, what do you do at quarterback?
Do you do Cuddy? You could go Cutler. You could go Cap.
I think that's how Cutler becomes a starting quarterback. That's the only way it happens, is if the Texans miss out on Romo.
The talk is that they're not interested in Cutler. And
now they're not, because Romo's still there.
Right, of course they're not now. But I would think almost that at that point, you turn to the draft. You get aggressive in the draft to find one of these players.
I know this is, can throw out trade ideas all day, and you don't see very many of them in the NFL. But what about A.J. McCarron? What about Matt Moore? Aren't these guys – A.J. McCarron isn't potentially a better option at this point.
Get A.J. McCarron out of here. Get that talk.
He's Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
To me. If the goal is Super Bowl contention, not be an irrelevant bum to just one of these abject bum teams – But if the goal is like, we want to be borderline playoffs, but if your goal is to actually get to the Super Bowl, what is the baseline of that? Who's the personification of that baseline at this point? In the 21st century, it's Flacco or Matt Ryan, right? Has there been a worse QB in the last decade to get to a Super Bowl? Not to say that those guys are lousy. I'm just saying that the pedigree of QB that plays in the Super Bowl tends to be
now we just talked about him. Kaepernick would be that guy,
right?
But now looking at it, I mean, at the time everyone thought Colin Kaepernick was didn't Ron Jaworski say he could be the best ever?
Could be the best ever.
The season after that,
life comes at you fast.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think I have one of those. Do you have one of those in your on your resume? I think my worst prediction ever was 3 years ago that Jay Cutler would be the NFL MVP. That ended up not working.
That didn't work out. I
said Ryan Mallett would be a great NFL.
I think I said that Sean Payton would be the Cowboys head coach by January.
That's
about
not,
3 years ago.
You have to have done worse than that.
I probably have.
A little different. That's like a prediction about like a move or something. Those are easy to get wrong, but like just a bad take or whatever. Yeah. There's plenty of those. People follow me for, I assume, tweets about Brussels sprouts and my dog pictures,
right.
But occasionally I'm known to give opinions on the wide receiver position. There was a receiver out of UNLV in the 2015 draft that I thought was like this big sleeper guy, was like going to, you know, shock a lot of people. He went undrafted, went to the Eagles camp, and got cut before even making it to training camp, and was never heard from again. So
look how he doesn't say his name so that you can't tie.
Oh, it's Devontae Davis. Yeah. You can find those. You can find those tweets on the internet. Go for it. That is by far my easily biggest miss.
You do kibitz about important stuff I like to do the same sort of thing. You've tackled the field of Brussels sprouts, and Brussels sprouts of, you know, cauliflower. Big cauliflowers had a great century too. The
really?
Oh yeah.
Not to the same extent as Brussels sprouts.
They're the up and coming vegetable in the field.
If 25, 30 years ago you made a list of worst vegetables, like ones that are used at negatively stereotyped
sprouts
in movies and movies. Oh, yes. The kids don't eat the Brussels sprout. They don't eat the cauliflower. That was always like a punchline in sitcoms.
But cauliflower is the most mundane vegetable out there.
Shame on you. It is not.
That's incorrect.
That's how it's portrayed. I'm not saying it should be, but that's I think Brussels sprouts was a malicious vegetable. Cauliflower was like, cauliflower, who cares?
Because you want to know what the problem is. People forever have been steaming these vegetables, which is just the incorrect way to prepare them. And then like you see just these bottom tier humans of the planet like dumping cheese sauce on vegetables to make them better. Get out of here if you do that. That's just despicable. It's shameful.
This is
what I'm passionate about.
You know what, Brussels sprouts, it joined a union with that included bacon. That's the thing with in the same way that lobster, I've said this for a few years now, and you know, I just went and got the crabs and shrimp and everything, like I said, they all benefit from, you know, you pay all this money to get fresh lobster, fresh crab, whatever. Isn't it really just about the drawn butter? Isn't that real? if you dip anything in the drawn butter, just about, it's going to taste good. Same Brussels sprout. I love them. I'm not denigrating your beloved vegetable. I admire what it's achieved in the last decade. It's come out of nowhere.
But we're despising the taste. That's what you're saying.
I love
There's
it.
There's a lot of taste, cover up.
You're putting a lot of bacon in there. I guess it would taste good. Yeah, I'm just pointing
balsamic.
That out.
People like to put some balsamic vinegar
no jive.
In there.
Yeah, I know. But you know my stance on no jive. Yeah. I'm just letting it be known. Like, yes, Brussels sprouts, good for you. I pat you on the back. You're a true underdog story in the world of produce. However, let's not hide the fact that swine is your best friend.
Yeah, but as the king of Brussels sprouts Twitter, I don't put any bacon in my Brussels sprouts.
Bacon is Shaq to Brussels sprouts equal Kobe. When they won those titles in the early part of the 21st century.
That's
both,
to get, I mean, to
both
get the sheep
needed
on board
to be
with
there,
it.
But which was the true, what was the essential ingredient there? You don't put bacon in your sprouts, eh?
I don't.
I want to take you to a place, Matt Harmon, in the San Fernando Valley here in Los Angeles that makes the finest Brussels sprouts that have ever passed my lips. Hmm. Hey, before you go, Harmon, I was thinking the other day, Chuck Berry, he died, and it's a shame, and you saw him hail. Did you know Handsome is a UK guy, the import of Chuck Berry in the world of rock and roll? You were aware of that? Harmon, youngster, hipster, listening to all the cutting-edge sounds, you knew you could date it back to Chuck Berry being one of the real trailblazers there. What if I told you you could only have, you know, like the old drill, go out on a desert island. What songs do you want to have with you?
Are you asking me this?
Yeah, go ahead.
What songs?
Let's do a song draft.
Okay.
That's what we should do. Every day on the show from here until draft, let's draft something stupid like that. Let's draft – not stupid. Songs are essential.
No, this is important. This
let's
is
draft
real.
Songs. Go. Because there would be ones that we probably would want. Yeah, you can say I want a whole universe of songs. There's no chance we're going to land on the same ones. But you would suspect that, you know, I'm trying to think of – I gotta write mine down.
I don't know what.
So I
gotta
pick
my first pick.
I gotta pick one.
Yeah.
This is kind of hard off the top here.
Satellite.
No, it's not that one.
It's not Dave Matthews.
No, I don't think it. I don't think it would be Dave Matthews though. Those songs never tend to get. You know what? It's always All Along the Watchtower, but the Jimi Hendrix version is always a great one.
Okay.
It's thematic.
A cover to start with. That's interesting.
Yeah.
A Bob Dylan.
Listen.
Okay.
It's a good one. I think it's always good for a number of different occasions. So I don't know.
Chuck Berry's one of his most famous songs is titled "My Ding-a-Ling." What do you suppose that's about?
I don't know. That sounds a little too age inappropriate for me.
I'm just writing down what songs would definitely make my list here. What would be on yours?
I have a favorite band. I don't think either of you will know about. Maybe Harmon will because he's
it's a total hipster move by you, Hank.
The Cinematic Orchestra. You aware of?
That's the band.
That's the band's name. They have like all their music. You probably wouldn't have heard of them, but they have a few songs that are put on there. Maybe there's one called A Home that I would. I'd put up there.
Not a Radiohead number. What's the best Radiohead song?
I know that's such a difficult. I've gone through that. I think you, me, and Hansus have gone through this and tried to work out what are the top 10 Radiohead songs. It's a tough one.
I'm just making my list here because I'm thinking
it's hard.
I would go with the Rollings. My favorite Rolling Stones song is "Torn and Frayed." That's what Exile on Main Street. Mm-hmm. "Torn and Frayed" would be
that whole album. I mean, that's tough. It's tough to leave any song out of there behind.
Loving Cup and so on, but I'm going, Torn and Frayed. I'm going to go Box of Rain by the Grateful Dead. Often, even by their own fans, say don't listen to their studio recordings. I say, au contraire, Box of Rain's a great song. I'll go with Built to Spill from Perfect From Now On. Perfect From Now On is a great number individually, and they have great records. But I'm going to go with Randy Explains the Universe as another one. And then by Lynyrd Skynyrd, Tuesday's Gone. There's four right there. That's
your four pack you're taking.
That's a powerful foursome right there. Right. I'm gonna add to it as we go along there. Harmon, I've bought you a few minutes there. You want to throw out another one?
Yeah, I think another one that I've got to take something from the band Dawes, which is I think at this point a top five band for me. It's hard because they've got a lot of good songs, and like I kind of want to get a sad song in there because at some point I'm gonna be alone and.
right now, when we hang up.
Right now. No, I've got the dog here with me, okay. But I mean, if I'm
bring
stuck
the dog
on,
on. Let's see the dog.
Okay, hang on.
So you wouldn't show us anything in your room? Oh, there's something. Oh, no, that's just a cardigan that he has.
What is that? What's his name? Charlie.
It's Charlie.
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 Charlie. Say hi to the show.
He can't hear you, Dave.
Yeah, he's too good for this. I just woke
is this
him
his
up
first ever podcast appearance?
Oh no! He's very
he's very active.
Used to
Harmon, handsome, handsome. You're an Englishman, you know the guy who strikes a semi cool figure. I imagine in the UK you're considered to be very cool, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Are you?
No, I don't.
You
think
aren't
so.
Considered to be a cool guy.
I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't around you in your formative years.
The question.
Harmon, you are by name a hipster now.
Right.
Is it, I was wondering about this recently. Is it fair, or is it weird? What do you come down on? I think on some level people are proud of their taste in music.
Yes.
It's weird to be proud.
Shouldn't.
No, I
don't think it's weird. Why is it weird? Why is it weird to be
weird?
In your taste in music, you're just a consumer. You didn't create it. What's it? Yeah. You think it reflects on you.
Yeah, you think it reflects on you.
But more so than like, I mean, nobody in the 20, not nobody, but most people in the 21st century, when we sit around, we don't talk about brushstrokes. You know, we don't talk about our favorite painters, our favorite impressionists. And you wouldn't be proud of
I don't think that's true. I think that just might be, it's a circle that you might, or might not run in. Like, there'll be people who will have art displayed on their walls, and one of the reason for the same reason that you'd have your music out.
But like painting, that would be like I'm a huge WNBA fan. Like, all right, well, there are only so many people you can engage in
on
that
reflection. Like, I have a you know, bookshelves at home. You would
books are another one.
Books.
You display
books, and in a way to display books, you're saying, "This is me. I want you to take something from
handsome.
The books that I'm reading."
My bookshelf is right over there, and there's.
Let's go look at it.
I think it's a.
Why
rational,
can't we look at anything?
But
in
handsome,
room?
I feel like that's a rationalization Well, it allows me to connect with my visitors to my home, and they see my T.C. Boyle novels on
everything.
My shelf, and then I connect with them. Oh, you've read T.C. Boyle, have you?
I'm not like...
What's your favorite Boyle novel?
Everything is fine until you become an elitist. Until you become an elitist about it. Like, oh, I've... And I know this is, like, weird because the brand is the hipster thing, and that's all that it's a part, but it's insufferable when people are like, oh... I've heard of this band and you have not. Like, give me a break. There's a million songs out there.
Right.
Let me get around to it. All right.
Top 10 bad person on the planet right now is. I mean, There are a couple people I could
list
off. There
are a few people who
around congressional hearings specifically, but a bad person is the one who what's a good one? Okay, Steve Malkmus, formerly of Pavement, now has the Jicks and has for 15 years. But a lot of people don't know the Jicks, and they've had a couple of great records. I'm gonna say to you, Harmon, have you heard any Jicks records? And you tell me no, you have not. Ready? Okay.
No,
Harmon, have you heard any of those Jicks records?
No, I have not.
You don't know the Jicks?
What? Who does that?
A lot of people do.
Really?
A lot of people, like, if it's...
But then you can't say that that's worse.
If it's Star Wars, what's the most popular Star Wars movie? Like,
right.
You know, it's one thing to say, like, you've never seen Star Wars. That's something to get, but, you know, it's a fringy movie, some, you know, subtitled movie. Like, you've never seen that movie? What's wrong with you? You never read that book?
Well, because the most annoying thing about that is that not only are they trying to tell you that they're better than you because they know of this niche thing, like, look at me, my tastes are so off the radar, but then they're also shaming you for not knowing of this thing that is off the radar.
Though. What's worse? Is it worse to say, well, you wouldn't have heard of this, but I like this? Or is it worse to say, I can't believe you haven't heard of this thing, which obviously you haven't heard of?
Which can't have it both ways. Which leads us neatly into our conversation with Julian Edelman. Ike and Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew have attacked
me. Where are those guys?
Well, they're, I assume, respectively in Orlando in the East Bay. Ooh, we didn't talk about Marshawn Lynch. I love that, the idea of that comeback. And
I feel very mixed feelings on that.
I do, too, but I do. We'll talk about that on the next show. I love the idea of hometown and sports. I love, the World Cup is fascinating because you're playing for your nation. I would love it if people played for their cities. I've done some research on this, and I'll reveal the results of that. But Ike and Maurice have told me that I'm overly familiar with football players, and I say I'm just trying to be polite. They say, like, you know, Ike's like, Sheck, you go up to a guy and like, oh yeah, I interviewed you 4 years ago, and you expect him to remember that? And I say, no, that's not at all what I'm doing. I would do that with any human being if I've met them before. When someone introduces us, hey, this is blank football player or blank human being. And he says or she says, nice to meet you. I will say, actually, you know, we met a few years ago. We did something together like that.
Right.
They say that's overly familiar. You're putting pressure on them to remember something that they would have no earthly reason to. I said, I'm just trying to be polite and acknowledge that we've met before. Edelman. And I said, we've met before. And he said, oh, I don't remember that. And I said, see, this is exactly. So that's one of the things we talk about.
What if you lead off with, I'm sure you don't remember, but...
That's what I do. I say, I don't expect that you would remember this, but we talked, we did a thing, whatever, blah, blah.
Then you could say that you're boxing them into a corner like, oh, great, I'm the bad guy because I don't remember this. I don't know. It's a weird thing.
You should try the other way around. Say, I think we met before, but I don't remember where it was because it wasn't memorable for me. Put the pressure back on them.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. That was a weird moment for me, and I'm not sure still how to feel about it. A number of weeks ago at the Super Bowl in Houston, I was standing with some people, Bert Breer being one of them,
right,
kibitzing, and overcame new GM, just newly anointed within days of John Lynch comes walking over. And Bert Breer politely says, oh, this is Dave Damashek, this is John Lynch. And John says, oh yeah, I remember you. I can't even remember what he said. But he said, we talked in Lake Tahoe. We talked about whatever. And I had no recollection of it. That's the first time that's ever happened that a sports celebrity remembered me, but I didn't remember him. I didn't know if that time for me to check out? Because I've always said if I stop being impressed by that kind of stuff.
I think what it says to me is you might be the next plucked from obscurity kind of GM.
Ooh, I like that.
There's a reality show waiting to happen. Dave Damashek.
Allow me to condescend to you because I've shaved my beard now.
That's not condescending. I'm just saying it would be entertaining. Jeez, don't be so sensitive.
You should hang up on him for that.
I'm going to hang up on him. Hang up on him now. What a pleasure to see him. I'll say that.
Can I just say before we get out of here, for one, thank you, fellas, for having me, even though I guess I should really be thanking Bartlett and the producers because they're the ones that actually got me on here. But yeah, no, thanks for having me on again.
I like this. You can do this.
Subscribe to the fantasy.
I would have promoted it, you creep. It's on iTunes.
Yeah, it's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. You can go to thebackyardbanter.com. I've got a hub for it there and everything, as well as my other podcast.
What's your favorite podcast that you do?
Oh, it's the Hipsters podcast right now. It's fun because we talk about football, but we also talk about music, beer, and life.
What a revolutionary idea!
Wow, you should do some of that.
I should. You know what? Let's expand beyond just
football. So what we're talking about. Let's get to know. We'll talk about music and food as well.
Jeez, man, it's like you think everything I'm saying is like an attack against you.
I don't think anything's an attack. You know what's an attack though? I wonder if word has reached Goodell yet about the hardball Harmon's playing with him right now. All right.
Well, I don't.
My shadow will not see the NFL campus until I am being paid to be there again. I'll stay in my filthy bedroom with my pup.
Oh, that's a gross assumption that it's filthy.
Well, and won't show us until we see what it looks like. We don't believe that it's not filthy.
My beard shaving.
I want a tour of the room. I want to just
save that for next time.
Just show your bed and say this is where the magic happens.
Come on.
This is where the magic happens.
Oh my goodness.
There's a lot of clothes.
Actually, you're right. No,
come on, ladies. You deserve better.
No. You really do. No, but you do deserve better. This has been chaotic. I'm sure that was fun for everybody.
Great fun, Matt Harmon. A pleasure to see you. Yes, subscribe ASAP. Make sure Charlie doesn't go to bed hungry tonight.
Seriously. Look at that face. Subscribe and sponsors come, and feed my dog. Look how sad he is.
Oh, yeah. Alpo. That would be a good one for you. Alpo for Charlie and company. The freshly shaven Matt Harmon and Matt Franciscovich, the great fantasy hipsters. Good stuff on the Jags and less so on music, but your opinions were appreciated nevertheless. There he goes.
Good to see you, Matt.
Matt Harmon, and now, handsome, I say goodbye to you.
Right.
And I say hello, although I said my hellos a couple of weeks ago, but now we're finally going to let you hear how that went down. Julian Edelman, Super Bowl 51 hero. And stay all the way through it, because then sideline reporter Indy catches him for the post-interview.
That's a must-see.
And you want to see and or hear that one. So make sure you check that one out. We'll be back later in the week for you with more Hooey and Applesauce. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. Well, no, don't play the out music. We're going to Edelman now.
Should we start again? Should we start the show again?
All right, no, that's on me, because I said, I faked Bartlett out there. So here comes Julian Edelman, and then after Julian Edelman, then that's it. You're waiting
to keep. Sideline interview.
You're out of luck. Oh, aside from the sideline interview. But then after that, that's it. You're out of luck for 48 hours until Handsome's mom, Bartlett, and Damashek all return. Hey, great to see our pal Kent Brown behind the glass. He's making his way out to the East Coast. You remember Kent?
I do, yeah, absolutely.
He's moving out to the East Coast, back to the homeland, back to the banks of the Three Rivers. We support
that. It's
a good
place to be.
It's always, So he's the prodigal son. So we wish Kent Brown all the best in his travels back to the East Coast. All right, here we go. Julian Edelman, take it away. Hey, look who it is, everybody. He's one of the several heroes from the world champion New England Patriots. Here he is, Julian Edelman. How are you, fella?
I'm well. How are you?
Have you talked enough about the catch yet?
Nah, I think I got one more in me.
Is it one of those things that you now, because it's going to loom. In the same way you should count yourself lucky, like Bill Buckner, for all his great deeds, you know what he's remembered for, the ball through the legs. No matter what else you do in life, that's going to be the thing. Is that cool with you, that you made maybe the greatest catch in Super Bowl history?
Hey, I'm all for it. I think it's pretty cool. It's cool to be cemented into a Super Bowl. It's stuff you dream about, but, personally, I feel like there was a lot of other plays that contributed to that, and I think it's been a little overhyped.
Do you do?
I do.
Come on. Don't be.
I really do.
Don't be modest.
How's my hair on this thing? It's looking all right?
No, your hair looks very nice. All right,
we're
very
good.
Nice.
We're
Listen,
good.
You got the world on a string. You got the world by its tail. What are you worried about your hair for?
Hey, you never know.
Really?
Yeah, details. Attention to details.
Yeah, that's right. See, that's what makes the Patriots so good, right? First thing, let's talk about this. Right after the Super Bowl, I ran down on the field, and I saw you, all the human beings on the face of the earth. The guy I saw you glad-handing with, Guy Fieri. What gives?
Guy and I have gone back, and we've had our times together, and he's a good friend. It was cool the first time getting to meet him, because I'm a Food Network guy. Mm. You know, I know we're on the NFL Network, and this is NFL Day, but I love the Food Network. I love watching those chop shows. I love watching the dives, drive-ins, and diners. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of see little places you can find to eat. And, you know, I'm a little foodie at heart. So, and then I got to meet him, hang out with him, and then, you know, we became friends. And then I saw him right there after. I actually gave the gloves to his son from the game.
Amazing. Yeah. Good for you. That's pretty neat. I'm more an HGTV guy.
I like HGTV too. When you buy a home, I remodeled the place. You really get into that show or that channel as well, because then you're starting to look at, like, you know, the crown molding of a place or the style of the place and all those types of things, the fixtures, you know. So
here's an idea: what if there's a show and it's called The Home Team, and free agents and rookies who move to the region, you are the ambassador, and you show them. You ever watch, like, House Hunters, you know? You show House Hunters Foxborough, and Edelman is the host, and you're like, what do you think of option number two here, rookie, you know, kind of guy?
That's not a bad idea. There's actually a guy who has, like, a monopoly on the homes out there, and Foxborough's like, you know, a middle-class town, but then you go to, like, this one area that this guy developed, and it's all the players living there paying crazy rent by what you get paid. I'm not going to say any names because he's a friend of mine, but that's already in effect.
He's got some side business working the path.
He does, definitely, but he's a good guy, and he keeps us sheltered, I guess.
What did you do when you woke up on game day?
What did I do? I got up and I actually do these I do these ball drills. I get these tennis balls, and I have our ball boy, Bobby. He has to go, every time we go on a away trip, he has to go find an area where we could throw tennis balls off a wall. And that's like secluded and kind of private. And so I woke up, and he had to leave early, so I woke up early, about 6, ate a little breakfast, and then we went and did the ball drills in the little area he found for us, and then got my body worked on, then took a nap, and then it was game time.
Do you sleep? Because that's what they always say, nobody ever sleeps, but this is, it's old hat for you.
I wouldn't say it's an old hat. You're definitely anxious at night. Especially with how long that week is. You have a week that you practice in Foxborough. You know, you get a few practices in there, and then you come and you have all the media obligations, and you have the practices out there. It's kind of a different territory, so you're not necessarily familiar with your routine. There's a whole bunch of adjusting. So, you know, by the time it comes the night before the game, you know, you're anxious for the game, but you're like, I want to play this game, and let's get this thing on going.
Did you see recently somebody paid $100,000 for a Cheeto that looked like Harambe? Given that that's the climate that exists right now, what if we took a little piece of your beard and put it out on eBay? Could raise a lot of money. Want to do it? Let's take a little chunk right out of there. We'll put it on eBay, put it in a bag, authentic. It'll be time-coded and everything on video. Then we'll send it to charity.
Hey, you know, we actually have something planned, but we'll figure something out. It's for a good cause, of course.
All right.
Definitely.
See, I like that. Is it now, of course, also I saw you down on the field. You were there with your girlfriend, right? That's out in the public now, right? when you're doing that on the when you hug her on the field, people, you know.
I get we're on the public.
Is it fun to date a supermodel?
You know what? She's a great girl, you know, she's our lives kind of crashed into each other at weird times, and you know, it was one of those things where, I mean, it's definitely cool to date her, but she, you know, she's more than just that. She's an awesome woman. She's a loving, passionate lady that you know, it's fun to get to
Look how you blush when you talk about that. That's sweet. I like that. Speaking of attractive people, who's more handsome, Brady or Garoppolo? Gronk chose Brady.
Gronk chose Brady? You know, I think they're different. I think they're different. I think, you know, Tom's got that like almost fine dining, like super wealthy, good look to him. That good look, good looking man that you see, that you're like, that guy's just rich and he's good looking. He's got it all.
Could be James Bond.
James Bond.
Now, right.
Guap is kind of like little heartthrob guy. He's kind of like, you know, the Italian stallion, little heartthrob. I mean, I have to bug him all the time, stop smiling, because he is pretty handsome. Mm-hmm. He's a handsome guy.
They both really are.
They're both good looking guys. And, you know, I'm not, you know, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying, like, I'm not offending you because you also are handsome, Dave.
Yeah.
Is that what you were getting
exactly.
at?
Exactly.
Last thing, is it maybe their controversy in training camp 2017, Garoppolo and Brady? It would be fun. Let's say it now, because then that'll catch on. It'll go all over the football world. Like, Edelman says, you know, maybe controversy. You want to say that?
You know,
you like
I'm
attention?
Not even thinking about training camp. I'm thinking about, you know, kind of unwinding from the season and – you know, that's so long ahead. I can assure you that, you know, no one's mind's there right now.
All right, Julian Edelman, you have to go. You have many duties to get to here. This is just the start of things. Mazel tov to you. Wonderful once again to see you get that ring. Since you're a fun guy, I always like when fun guys do well.
So that.
And go about your day, sir.
I appreciate it.
All right, Sideline Indy here with two-time Super Bowl champion Julian Edelman. How did it go in there?
I think it went pretty smooth, you know, with all the Yiddish and all that stuff going on in there, I felt we handled it pretty decent.
I would agree, but what's your favorite part of sitting down with someone like Dave?
My favorite part is probably how awkward he makes me feel that he's introduced himself to me like four times and I still don't remember. I don't know. It's crazy.
There seems to be a little beard envy going on, and you're clearly winning. So what kind of tips would you give Dave so he could get kind of the luscious beard you have here?
Shampoo, condition, and then this little Moroccan oil. Put about a nickel size or a dime size. Lather it up and put it on there.
Cool. And I know you told him about Guy, but be honest with me. What's really going on with Guy? Is it more than just friends? Is it admiration? Is he your hero?
I mean, I admire his dedication and his hard work ethic of how he is on everything. So, and I respect his game.